Welcome to another episode of Weekly Sedition. I'm Contra, your host, every Monday at 12:30 right here on 97.3 WRIR, your Richmond Independent Radio. In about 20 seconds, we're going to be talking to Ron Anisic, producer of the controversial radio show Bad Cop, No Donut. We're pushing the limits at WRIR, so stay tuned. It's interview time, ladies and gentlemen, and today we're going to be speaking with Ron Anisic, creator of the radio show Bad Cop, No Donut, broadcasting on CKLN Toronto Community Radio. Bad Cop, No Donut is a news program that provides a weekly wrap-up of police brutality, misconduct, and corruption throughout Canada and the United States. The show recently came under fire by the late Toronto Police Chief Julian Fantino for allegedly promoting hatred of the police. On the line with me now, Ron Anisic. It's good to have you on the show, Ron.
Hi, how are you, Kendall?
Doing great, doing great. Tell us about the origins of your show, Bad Cop, No Donut. What prompted the show's creation?
It actually evolved over about 5 years or so. I've been a volunteer at CKLN for about 15 years. So around 5 years ago, primarily because of the increased frequency of my fellow volunteers at CKLN and my friends falling victim to abuse at the hands of the police, started doing programming that was pretty critical of the police, not as focused as what we do now, but we'd like find a couple stories a week and then basically rant about them for about an hour. Last September, I don't know really how I got the idea to focus it, but it seems to me that the more I looked into it, the more I found a plethora of stories each week, and similar things I noticed were happening in different cities throughout North America, whether it was tasered deaths or any of the various crimes committed by police officers, from drunk driving to domestic assault. Police have happened all over the place. I knew I was alarmed about it, and I had a feeling that other people might be as well. So what I did is I got the idea to review the week's press from across North America as it pertains to police abuse. And that's pretty much how the show started, because of these new file sharing sites like Radio for All and
Radio for All is actually originally how I found your show to begin with, and this was some time ago. But Radio for All is a great site for file sharing and for show sharing. I actually put some of my shows on there recently, my counter-inaugural show and whatnot. Before we get into your conflict with the former police chief, Fantino, let's give the listeners a clear idea of what it is that you do. We have a few clips here from your latest show, aired on March 31st, so let's take a listen to those.
This is Bad Cop, No Donut for the week of March 31st, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad Cop, No Donut!
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, cop.
And I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisic at CKLN in Toronto. Stay tuned after this week's headlines for an interview with Chris Ford of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who will tell us about an upcoming taser study at the University of Wisconsin, which involves giving cocaine to pigs and then shocking them with a device 30 times more powerful than the tasers used by police departments across North America. But first, let's take a look at what the police did to us this week. A 9-month-old baby is in critical condition after being shaken violently by her father, who is a Licking County, Ohio sheriff's deputy. According to a WBNS report, Deputy Dustin Burden was napping with the child when the child began to cry, waking the deputy, who flew into a rage, shaking the baby until its body went limp. Rather than calling 911, Burden called a relative, who then called for emergency help. Doctors at the hospital where the child is being treated discovered old injuries, including a fractured arm. Police say that the deputy has admitted to abusing his daughter on two prior occasions. Burden was charged with felony assault and endangering a child and is currently free on a $100,000 bond. The chief of police in West Homestead, Pennsylvania, charged a few weeks ago with having sex with a 14-year-old, was released from federal custody on Tuesday on a $10,000 bond. According to WPXI, Chief David Osborne was accused of having sex with a 14-year-old girl in his police car and at his home, and then discussing the encounters with her in an email correspondence. He has been released into the custody of his father and brother and ordered not to consume alcohol, possess or make use of a computer, or have any contact with minors. At the detention hearing, the prosecutor told the judge that Osborne had admitted during his time in custody to having sex with a second victim under the age of 16 2 years ago. A police officer in Waterford, New Jersey, has pleaded guilty to administrative charges in connection with a sex-on-duty investigation. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, last week Sergeant Richard Bach became the first Waterford officer to plead guilty to charges which have affected almost one-third of the town's 23 police officers. He will be suspended without pay for 120 days. Bach admitted to having a woman in his patrol car while he was on duty and then falsifying records to cover up the activity. A police officer in Houston, Texas, is under investigation this week after being accused of downloading naked photographs of a woman who he had arrested on suspicion of impaired driving last November. The Associated Press says that the investigation is looking at reports that the officer, Christopher Green, found the photos on the woman's cell phone after arresting her, downloaded them, and showed them around the courthouse. Green has been reassigned to desk duty while the investigation continues. His partner, George Miller, has also been reassigned because he allegedly called the woman's house and asked her out after the arrest. An autistic 17-year-old in Mountain Gate, California, was beaten by three sheriff's deputies last Friday. According to the San Jose Mercury News, the deputies mistook the boy for a prowler. The teen was beaten with batons, pepper sprayed, and tasered when he did not respond to the commands of the deputies. A police officer in Detroit was convicted on Monday of being part of a ring that stole cocaine from a police evidence room. The Associated Press reports that Officer Donald Hines was convicted of conspiracy to distribute cocaine, conspiracy to steal, embezzle, and convert police property, embezzling and converting police property, conspiracy to launder money, and making false declarations to a grand jury. Hines was accused, along with a civilian employee of the department, of stealing almost 80 kilos of cocaine worth over $800,000 from a police evidence room over a five-year period ending in 2000.
Now, we only had time for a few short clips, but these stories, which last, 30 seconds to 1 minute each, just go on and on for a half hour. I'm amazed, first of all, at how much police misconduct there is to report on, but also that you're able to obtain information about all these stories. How do you go about gathering material for a show like this?
Well, I went to journalism school. We were taught pretty decent research skills there. Essentially, there are a couple ways that I use to find stories for the show. There's keyword searches at various news sites. There are a couple of websites in particular that also feature stories about police abuse that I've come across and visit to find stories. It's really not terribly difficult. As you say, there's a lot out there. The difficulty is in being as thorough as I would like to be. There always seem to be things that pass by that I miss. The third way is very often listeners send stories in, sometimes that they have a personal connection with. So.
All right. Have you received any criticisms regarding the idea of your show being fair and balanced? And what I mean by that is, would a fair and balanced show about the police deal with both the misdeeds and the good deeds of the police officers.
Yes, it would. But my show is not about the police. My show is about police abuse. So that statement really doesn't apply to my show. If I was doing a show about the police, sure, I would focus on the whole deal, I suppose. But, you know, every program has a mandate, whether it's, you know, yours or mine or, you know, your evening news program. They all have an editorial mandate. They all have a specific area that they deal with, just like your obituaries page does. This is an example I use all the time. You know, the obituaries page is a page of news about dead people. And all of the, you know, contributions that they made throughout their lives, unique stories, that kind of thing. Nobody writes to the New York Times and says, hey, you know what, living people make a lot of great contributions to the world, too, so why are there none of those on your obituaries page? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, it's a matter of the statement of the statement of purpose of the show to start out with.
Right. Police abuse. That's what it's about. So I can't do a show about police abuse where I'm talking about the nice things that the police do. It doesn't make any sense any more than writing about living people on an obituaries page. That's my position, anyway.
I think it's interesting the parallels that can be drawn between the criticisms of your show and the criticisms of those human rights organizations that are continually, even continually meaning still revealing, abuse and torture by U.S. soldiers overseas, in that we're told not to focus on a few bad apples, quote, that's the favorite phrase, but statistically, police officers are far more likely to be domestic abusers in the home. Their divorce rates hover between 75% and 80%. They experience higher rates of heart disease and other stress-related health problems, higher rates of alcoholism and other forms of addiction, higher rates of depression. Actually, more police officers kill themselves than are killed by criminals. And without singling you out, these are facts that I feel are sometimes overlooked by critics of police, because it seems that the officers themselves may be as victimized by their profession as the people who are beaten or sexually assaulted or cheated in any way by police. So I guess my next question is this. You've spent some time looking at the results of the law enforcement profession. Do you have any ideas concerning what about police work you think may be the cause of all this personal and interpersonal problems?
Yeah, I have, actually. I think it's the history of the organization itself. I think in order to understand why these things that you listed very eloquently a second ago, so I won't bother repeating them. The reason that those conditions exist are because they are institutional, systematic problems, as is racism in the police, which has been a hot topic with the police here in Toronto. I believe that if you're a police officer, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're racist, but if you're going to join the police force, you have to know that is a racist institution, and you are going to be conducting yourself in a manner that is consistent with the history and training of that organization, which is racist. I think the same thing applies to all of the other items on your list. You know, domestic assault. I don't necessarily think that police are any more likely to be domestic abusers going into their job. But I think you make a good point that the job itself may be at least partially responsible for that. I mean, it could be that there are a certain type of person who's more likely to become a police officer, and that might be the problem. Without having the background in psychology, I'm going to have to defer to somebody else's expertise on that.
Well, let's get into your brief conflict with Toronto Police Chief Julian Fantino, but let's first set the scene. Fantino was only days away from retirement when this whole thing started, is that right?
Yep. Yes, it is.
On the way out.
He had gotten a promotion, sort of, but that will actually take some explaining as well. his contract had come up for renewal with the City of Toronto, and the Police Services Board, which is the civilian body that oversees the local police, decided that they didn't want to renew his contract. Now, the reason for this is really up for debate. It's not a matter of public record, I don't believe. I would suggest that there are quite a few reasons for this. His performance had not been great. In fact, the image of the Toronto Police Department has had many major setbacks during his time as the police chief.
I seem to remember there being several topics in that realm of discussion up for debate when I lived there about 6 months ago. There seemed to be several mini scandals going on in the department at that time.
Well, some of them are small scandals, and some of them are fairly big. It's really been ongoing throughout the entire time Chief Fantino has been chief, and it's fair to say these problems have actually existed for quite a long time. Once again, the history of the police, the modern police forces in North America is replete with this kind of behavior, and so it's hardly surprising that we're seeing it here. But I would say we've probably seen more of it under Fantino's time as chief than before. Did I answer the question right?
Yeah, I think that'll work just fine. But tell us about what happened. How did you first find out that you were being attacked?
I had started getting calls from one of the television. There are two national television networks in Canada. One is run by the government. The other is privately owned. And the privately owned one started getting in touch, as well as a reporter from the Toronto Star, which is really big newspaper up here. And
it's the biggest newspaper, isn't it?
I think it's the largest circulation in the country. Although, oddly enough, it's not. We have two national newspapers in Canada that apparently have smaller circulations than our local Toronto paper for whatever reason. I don't know why that is. I know in the case of one of them, it's because they're not very good. However, so they started calling me and telling me that they had heard police officers complaining about the show, but that was about it. And there didn't really seem to be a story, so I was talking to them and basically talking them out of writing something silly. Then all of a sudden, one day, the CTV guy calls me up and says, okay, well, we have the chief of police on camera talking about your radio show now, so you have to, implying that I had to talk to him as soon as possible. If I can sort of, as I said, put him off as much as I could.
Did they tell you what he said when they contacted you?
No, but I had a pretty good idea of what it was going to be.
Right.
I mean, and during the interview that I gave them in the end, they did fill me in with a few of the key words. Hate mongering was one. And he said, I think he called my show disgusting. I'm not positive about that. I don't remember exactly what he said. But it all basically came down to two sentences. I should point out that at no time did anyone from the Toronto Police contact CKLM, myself, the CRTC, anyone. There's no formal... there's no formal complaint made at any time. It was purely targeting in the media. Now, I don't know what the reasons for this are.
Now, it seems like this would be a really bad idea from a police perspective. I mean, if there's anything that the largest police force in Canada wouldn't want to draw attention to, it seems like bad cop, no donut would be it.
I was baffled because it was once it got in the paper and onto TV, I was just flooded with phone calls from different media organizations, and I was totally sideswiped by it. I mean, I had to do that thing where you explain, it's like when you're doing a book tour or something, and you say the same thing over and over again every 5 minutes. really strange experience, but totally defending myself, basically. Not really talking about police abuse, just talking about mostly about the radio show's former email address.
Oh, right, which was?
Which was ihatepigs@hotmail.com.
Which you kind of have backed away from, isn't that right?
Well, yeah, for sure. When I realized the show was going to be coming to the attention of a bunch of people in the suburbs, and you know, my parents and people like that, I'm like, well, okay, that's not really the show's intended audience. It's been, you know, as you know, primarily on stations like ours, community-based media that would, you know, where programming about police abuse would not seem at all out of place. So when I learned it was coming to the attention of, you know, all these other people, I thought, well, this could be, you know, this could be a big distraction. And in fact, that's what it was. I mean, for several days, I had to talk about my email address almost exclusively.
So the day after all this stuff kind of hit, you're on the front page of the Toronto Star.
Yeah, it was actually that day. That's what started it, I think. It was the Toronto Star thing that started. And the CTV people had done their interview already, but they told me it was going to run the day after that. So when the Star ran their story, I suspect what happened was it all got pushed forward so that the Star didn't have a big scoop for 24 hours before the other guy.
Well, so aside from the email address change, how has this incident with the Toronto PD changed? Has it changed the format of the show at all? Are you doing anything differently now?
You know, I'm working harder on it, and it used to be that the show would be exclusively just headlines, and now I'm starting to incorporate interviews into the show, which is something I had wanted to do before and started doing a little bit before the chief did me this favor. I don't know. I haven't changed anything, really. I attribute stories a little better than I used to.
Meaning that you cite your references? Is that what you mean?
Yes, yeah. I used to do that less frequently because I think, you know, it's tedious to listen to. But I wanted to make the point that I wasn't, like, making any of this stuff up, and that it was all news that had already been reported from in other media sources. There seemed to me to be a little confusion about that before, so I thought to make that point, I would just start attributing the stories more frequently.
Well, Ron, if there's...
Especially the ones that are only reported by one media source. I'm not so concerned with other stories, like when the LAPD killed the 13-year-old boy. That was in a number of papers, so there's not really so much of a need for attribution there.
Well, if there's anyone who wants to listen, either just one or two times or regularly, to Bad Cop, No Donut, how can they go about doing that?
Well, the show... I throw up at radioforall.net every week.
Just to make sure everyone can get to that site if they want, it's radio and then the number 4all.net, radioforall.net.
And it also goes up at the Indie Media Radio site every week, which is radio.indiemedia.org.
All right, well, I think that's all we have time for today. I'd like to thank you sincerely for taking the time to talk with me, especially on such short notice. Thanks a lot, Ron.
My pleasure. That was fun.
You've been listening to Ron Anisich right here on Weekly Sedition. I'm going to leave you guys with a song called I Really Like the Cops.
I have heard some people make some very degrading comments about the cops recently, and I personally believe that people should refrain from making degrading comments about the cops, because the cops have a very difficult job, and they do it very well with great pride and integrity. And therefore, I wrote a song in support of the cops, and it goes like this. Come and gather round, you people, now, and listen to me yak. All you doctors and you lawyers and you folks who push the crack, and all you folks who push the buttons and you folks who push the mops, come listen while I tell you how I really like the cops. Oh, I really like the cops. I think they're pretty cool. I like them in my neighborhood. I like them in my school. I think the cops are wonderful. I think the cops are nice. And I like to have a broken jaw and carry a pack of ice. I really like the cops. I think they're pretty neat. I like it when they take my face and smash it on the street, and then they drag me to a station and they lock me in a room, and then I like it when they rape me up the anus with the broom. I really like the cops. They make me want to sing. You know my favorite movie is that tape of Rodney King, and so I really get pissed off whenever somebody like you suggests we should subject the cops to citizens' review. I really like the cops. I am so glad that they're around to hassle me and ticket me for sitting on the ground. I really love the cops. I'd be so sad if they were gone. There's something about a uniform that always turns me on. Yeah, I really like the cops so much, folks, that I don't think you should find out the number of your local cop watch group. And if there is no cop watch group in your town, that's good. I don't think you should start one. And if you're walking down the street and you see somebody getting hassled by the cops, I don't think you should stop and see what happens. I think you should just walk on by, because that person must deserve everything they get for not looking rich enough for the cops to leave them alone. And if you're with a group of people and the cops start picking all one of you, I don't think you should stick up for that person at all. I think you should just let the police physically and psychologically isolate your companion. And I don't think you should carry one of those little disposable drugstore cameras on your person at all times to document police brutality with when you see it. And I don't think your town should have a civilian review board to investigate citizen complaints against cops. And if you do have a board like that, then I think it should just be a rubber stamp committee that approves of everything the cops do. And if there's a cop in your town who makes a regular habit of beating up unarmed people, or raping women at gunpoint, or raping men at gunpoint, or killing people for an adrenaline rush because he is a psychopath, then I think that he should not be fired. And if he is fired, then that is definitely punishment enough for him, and he should not be prosecuted. And I most definitely do not think that you should put his name and his address and his telephone number and his list of crimes on a flyer and post that flyer all over town. And I don't think you should go to his neighborhood and talk to all his neighbors like people do when a convicted sex offender moves into a neighborhood and let them know what he has done. And I don't think that you should egg his house or slash his tires or run him out of town. And I don't think that when he applies for a job on the police force in the next town over the hill, I don't think you should go to that town too and do the same thing and make sure that he never works as a police officer again. I don't think you should do any of this, because your town has the best police department in the world. Oh yes, I really like the cops. Just to see 'em gets me high. I hope that I get taken into custody and die, and then I hope that every fact that's in the coroner's report gets chucked into a dumpster so it won't be heard in court. A-you-lay!